right, Nick.
What's up?
How do you find a blind man at a nudist colony?
How?
It's not that hard.
Good one, good one. Welcome to the Raising Home Podcast. Okay, I took your line from you.
I'm just laughing because you heard the joke already. So it's
yeah.
It's a fake laughter that you're doing.
Yeah, I actually had a very raw laughter to it the first time. But yeah, seriously, welcome everyone to the Raising Home Podcast. You got your host, me, Nick Agutter, also joined by co-host Fez Babar. I know that's not the right way to say your name, but that's the way I've always said it, and I'm going to continue saying it that way.
Yeah,
here, just well, no, I got this. All right, let me...
Do you want to restart?
We're coming back in here. No, we're good. Right here, right now. Welcome okay. to the Raising Home Podcast with your host, Nick Agutter, and my co-host, Fez Babar.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for pronouncing my name right.
Getting better. Let me turn you up. You're a little bit too quiet on my end again.
Do my VTIC.
Ooh, yep, there we go. Now you're sounding pretty good.
Yeah, I have to be like right next to the mic. I kind of don't like that.
Is it turned up all the way?
Yeah, it's turned up all the way.
Okay. Then it's probably just on my end. I can turn up the audio a little bit on my end.
What
if and
I
we'll be good. 100%. I'm probably just going deaf. Yo, Fez, what'd you do this weekend?
I got some money and fucked some bitches.
At my house? You were here at my house this weekend.
Yeah, and?
Well, I didn't see any bitches rolling through here.
I got Ariel, okay? poor dog. So I was in Austin this past weekend with you, hanging out with you. We got an invite by some of our friends and also a customer of mine, Canoe. He invited us to drive some of his cars. You know, we had his E46 M3 out. We had his Integra Type S out. He had his GR86 out. A bunch of other guys were out there as well. It was a member day at Harris Hill Raceway, and it was one of the best track days I've had in a very long time.
Yeah, that sent back to Canoe. He was awesome with letting us borrow his cars, his Type S. I love that Type S, and we'll get into that later. But yeah, just a members day over at Harris Hill Raceway, south of Austin, and it was so chill. Like, it is...
Yeah.
I didn't think I would, like, enjoy a members day that much, but we were literally the only ones out there. Now, part of that was because of the rain. When we got there, the rain was imminent. It had already rained, and some of them had been out, so there were already rivers flowing through. But then the another cell came through, and it just dumped rain everywhere, all over. You were soaked, and it was the point where if you were at the clubhouse, you could not see the track. It was completely invisible, and everyone came in waiting for the cell to pass. But then after that, there was a little bit of sprinkling, but it wasn't raining too much. But effectively, what it was an open Forza lobby in real life in the rain.
Essentially, yeah. I mean, going back to the rain thing, though, I went to someone's garage to get a tool from them. Like, I needed a 10 mil socket, right? And on the way back from the garage, it started downpouring sideways. And I had to get back because I was like, I'm gonna be stuck with this random dude in his garage, right?
Yeah.
Kind of awkward. And I just started running for it. By the time I entered the clubhouse, I was soaking wet.
Yeah, you came through. You had taken a second shower for the day.
Yeah.
You were absolutely drenched.
I had to change clothes. I'm glad, like, I don't know why I had an extra shirt in my bag, but I did.
It all worked out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was rivers flowing on that track. But it was just so fun.
Yeah. Dude, let's just jump into it. What do you think of, like, Harris Hill, like, Raceway? Yeah, that's my opinion, too.
No.
Like, your reaction right there is exactly what I think, too. I think it's a good little track if you're local to the Austin area. Mm-hmm. If it's, like, within an hour of your drive.
Mm-hmm.
But it,
let me describe it. I think this is the type of track that if I was rich and had a big ranch or something like that, this is the type of track I would put in my backyard.
That's right? A good way to put it. Yeah. Like the amount of land that it sits on. If I had that land, I was like, I want to put a track here. Harris Hill, the layout that it has is pretty much like what I would do. Like, try to maximize the number of corners, but while maintaining flow. Because it does flow pretty well, in my opinion. Decently well. And there weren't too many straights.
No, there was, like, basically no straights. Everything was a curve or a turn or... yeah, it was a great track for lightweight cars. My only thing was that the track was so bumpy in random places, like on the in the braking zones and in the and then but with it being wet on top of it just being really bumpy, it just impossible to brake in some of those braking zones. So it got to the point where after I went off, I started braking offline just to, you know, get some kind of traction.
Yeah, well, and also you were braking in the, not on, like, the dry line, but, like, effectively on the wet line. Because I didn't notice where, if you were, there is, like, a wet line that appears. Of course, it's in the middle of a corner, if you're close to the apex, is where it's going to be slippery. But then offline, you do have more grip. So that definitely helped out. Yeah, and the bumps, I agree. The bumps were pretty significant. It would upset ABS, stability control. But other than that, like, if they fix the bumps, that's an awesome little track. Yeah. I do have concerns, though, about longevity, because the neighborhood that's getting, the brand new neighborhood that's getting built across the street from it, it is coming right up. Like, you literally could be in the bedroom and open your blinds and you see the full racetrack. And it's not just one home. Like, there were a good five homes that are right across the street. And so...
Yeah, I mean, there's already a sound limit, right, of 95 decibels.
Yep. Which, yeah, which Canoe's E46 M3 already blew.
A couple times. Yeah, that was, and with me short shifting, and also, like, yeah, it just still blew it.
You know what I didn't figure out? I never figured out where the microphone actually was for the track. I'm assuming it was on the front straight, like closest to us. Because, like, we all know where Laguna's microphone is located. It's located off of turn 5, at between turn 5 and turn 6. Like, heading up to the turn before heading up to Corkscrew. Before Harris Hill, I never actually figured out where the microphone was. I just assumed it was on the front straight.
Yeah, I'm assuming it's on the front straight, the first corner station there.
Yeah, overall pretty good. And
yeah, it's a fun track. I would like to go back there again. I think it's just a fun track to go hooing around on. You know, just drift, slide around, because, like, all the corners kind of connect really well, flow really well. I think I like that track. I would like that track more in the wet than I would in the dry.
I think so too, because I think in the dry, the bumps are going to become very frustrating, because the bumps are on the dry line, I think. I've been there twice now, and both times were raining. Nonetheless, like, if it's in the dry and I'm actually in a hot lap and I'm trying to, like, drive over those bumps, it's going to suck. But it's also a good way to have a well-rounded suspension, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a rough track to in the dry, probably. But, yeah, those guys are out there pretty often, sounds like. Matt went out again Sunday after us.
Yeah, because we were out Saturday. And then, yeah, I'll even be at work sometimes, and some of them will pop up in the Discord saying that, like, hey, we're heading up to Harris Hill this morning. I'm like, it's a Wednesday. But, any case, yeah, it's a good little practice track, and for me, from my place, it's about an hour away, but for Canoe, it's 30 minutes, or it was less, like 20, 25 minutes. Uh-oh, your camera froze up.
Okay, I'm back.
All right, there we go.
I don't know what happened there, but yeah, I'm back.
It froze in, like, in this really funny way where it looked like you were just kind of, like, smiling and thinking of something seditious in the back of your mind. I'm like, oh no, he's just gonna, like,
there comes the racist joke.
So what'd you drive down in?
I drove down in a GR Corolla. I got a GR Corolla from work for a little bit to do some analysis on, but yeah, that was pretty fun. And then luckily there was another person over there who had a core GR Corolla with the LSDs, so I got to drive that on the track and compare it too. Couldn't drive the work Corolla, so I had to drive his.
Yeah, that the GR Corolla with the LSDs, that would forget his name. In any case, it trying to compare it to the Focus, and in ways, like, it feels very I'm struggling with remembering what the Focus felt like stock.
Because
I took it out to Thunderhill, I took it out to Laguna and Bunwillow with it being completely stock. And I do recall it being pretty easy to rotate on throttle. Meanwhile, it felt like the GR Corolla, I didn't drive it. I was a passenger with you. But it seemed like it was not as easy to rotate on power, and yet it was wet outside.
Yeah, I'm gonna backtrack a little bit. So we drove the Integra Type S, and we drove the GR Corolla, right? So we drove.
Yep.
I drove the GR Corolla with my work's GR Corolla on the from Dallas to Austin on the street, and then I also drove the Integra Type S on the street a little bit to kind of compare them both, which was kind of a It just worked out. Like I wasn't supposed. Like the analysis that I'm doing is kind of just nice. I guess I got to get to kind of compare with the competitors as well from a friend's car. But yeah, the Integra was just better. It was just like in terms of
fit, but it's finish, also like 10 to 15K up market compared to the Corolla.
It is. Yeah, I do agree with that. But I'm gonna assume the Civic Type R has similar shifter and driving feel. I've heard it's specific type is too stiff, so I'm gonna ignore the suspension for now. I'm just gonna look at fit and finish and quality of the dash, the features, and then the shifter feel. Right.
Okay.
And I think the Integra was better. The shifter was superior. The GR Corolla does have it's not a bad shifter. It's a good shifter, but the Integra was just better.
Yeah, and I want to add something to that note on the Integra. Like that actually was the first time that I personally was able to drive a Honda vehicle, a new Honda vehicle with a manual transmission. All other manual Hondas that I've ever driven have all been from the early 2000s or maybe Kenny's S2000s the latest, but nonetheless the Integra was the first time where I was like, holy shit, this is amazing. Like this is I finally get what people say about Honda shifters. Not to say the S2000s or previous Hondas that I'd driven are bad by any stretch. It was probably just the fact that they were just old and bushings were a bit worn and broken in, whereas the Integra is still relatively new. It only had like 6,000 miles on the odometer. It felt amazing. It legitimately felt amazing. So I love that thing.
Yeah. What else? On top of that, the driver ergonomics were better in the Integra. Like the pedal box was better, so the brake pedal to gas pedal gap that was there, it was good. Like I could heel toe really easily in the Integra. The GR Corolla was a little bit difficult to heel toe, so I had the rev match, auto rev match on for most of the time I was driving it.
Hey, quick, so on the note of the pedal spacing, what do you think of the Focus? My Focus,
don't remember.
But you don't remember being frustrated?
I don't remember at all. I don't want to say something that I don't know.
You drove it at ECR last year.
Yeah, no, not last year. It was 2022. It's 2 years ago.
Has it been that long? It has been that long. In any case,
I don't think I struggled. I think it was fine.
Yeah, I agree. But I bring it up because one of the sour points with the Focus RS and the ST, and maybe even the Fiesta ST, but at least with the Focus, is that the spacing of the brake pedal and the gas pedal, a lot of people had complained about it in the sense that the brake pedal required a ton of like push. Like you had to be on track in order to get the brake pedal to be even with the gas pedal to make heel toes easy. And it was something that I initially noticed when I first got the car, but immediately like kind of drove around and now I have no problem with it.
Yeah, because you're used to it.
I'm just used to it. Granted, so maybe what that was for me, taking that into account, I hopped into the Corolla just to sit, feel it out, and it felt fine, but maybe that's because I'm just decent now at, like, driving bad pedal spacings.
My issue for the Corolla, wasn't the height difference, it was the gap between it, the gas pedal.
Yeah.
It's just too far apart. That was it, right?
Maybe I got big feet. You know what they say?
I think I have bigger feet than you.
I'm a size 8.
Yeah, that's not anything to brag about.
Yeah, I know. I'm a small person.
I know. Size 11, son. sorry for roasting you.
You're fine. I put myself out there.
You did. You really did. But yeah, so that was kind of my concern. And then the whole pedal box felt like it was shifted to the left of the rear yard, while the Integra was to the right, which I just felt more comfortable. And another thing was that the GR Corolla and even your Focus felt like you're sitting on top of the car. It felt like more of a minivan type of driving position, while the Integra felt like a sports car. You felt like you were sitting inside the car.
Yeah, like sitting inside the Integra, it legitimately felt like the engineers wanted everything about the car to be for the driver. It felt very driver-centric or driver-focused on the driver, whereas the actual Focus and the GR Corolla, not so much. You're right. It felt like you're sitting on top of it. Had a lot of minivan essence to it.
Because you know why? Because Integra is on its own platform, or Civic is, I guess, just maybe a better platform to be on, while the Corolla is still, you know, a regular Corolla, and the Focus RS is still a regular Focus, right?
Yeah, and I think that's going to be most of the problems that we have about the Focus and the Corolla versus the Integra is simply the fact that the bones that the Integra is starting with are already so much better. Like a base Civic, in my opinion, is far better than a Corolla or a Focus.
I agree. The base versions.
The price,
it's also expensive. It is more expensive.
Yeah. So we have to keep that in mind.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I think the turn in on the Integra, granted, he had like 3.7 degrees of camber in the front, while the Corolla was bone stock. It was better. It rotated better. Integra rotated better. And the GR Corolla, like, it understeered. It drove like a front-wheel drive car, in the wet, at least. And I feel like in the dry, it'd be fine. Because you had just have more grip. But in the wet, it felt understeery. I think the Corolla... Yeah. I thought about this recently today, right? Because I was talking to someone else about this. The Corolla base price is $36,000, right?
Yep.
And then I think, I don't know what it is when you add the LSD package. I'm going to check it out real quick. But,
cool. Now I can see the waveform. And we're back.
Okay. So we're back on the podcast. So I was just checking the price of the base model GR Corolla with the front and rear LSDs, the ones that you would want, right? It's $38,875 with the front and rear LSDs. The MSRP for the Civic Type R is 43. It's being sold for 50. That's the lowest I found was 49 used. So considering that, this is 39,000. If you add a rear sway bar, add some front camber, and add an exhaust to this GR Corolla, I think it's a better better bang for your buck.
I completely agree with. Wait, does this GR Corolla also come with heated seats?
No, this is the base model.
The core does not. Okay.
It does not, no. If you want that, you would need to get a premium. And if you get a premium, you get...
So it's 40,000. And doesn't the premium come with the LSD already, or do you have to add that on?
Premium does not come with the LSD, I think.
You
have to get a circuit edition for that.
Okay.
Yeah. So if you get the circuit edition, it's 45 grand.
Okay. So if you get a circuit edition, then you can actually really start thinking about personal preference on which one you like more, because they're going to be close enough in price, 5K away. But in my opinion, if you're strictly looking for hot hatch or a hatchback type vehicle to be on track with, I would argue that the core edition with the performance pack that come with the LSD and then aftermarket exhaust, aftermarket rear sway bar, in my opinion, that's all you need. That's a
less. I think it's like $1,000, $1,000 to $1,200, and the GR Corolla would be better than the Civic Type R.
Yeah, I agree. I was very surprised. So yeah, on the note of like the exhaust, I'm glad you brought that up, because I was pretty surprised at the lack of like exhaust character or emotion that came out of the car. And I say that because I'm quite biased with the Focus. Completely stock. It is popping and banging from the factory, and like it is kind of like egging you on to go and drive like a hoonigan, and like get on throttle, get off throttle, and have some fun, have a little orchestra of popcorn coming out of the tailpipes. The Integra is close to that. The Integra would pop and gurgle and give you some engine note whenever you got off throttle, especially whenever you downshifted. The downshifts were a lot of fun, simply because of the audio that came with it. The Corolla didn't have like any of that. So yeah, I'd be interested in seeing what a exhaust will do, but you probably will need a tune and a tuner that is willing to give you some flavor, whenever you lift off the gas pedal, basically not exactly a pop crackle tune, but give you a little bit of that just to make it more fun. And yeah, I'm completely biased in saying that. Some people hate that. And in that case, keep the Corolla GR completely stock, but
I don't like
that. We enjoyed. So you didn't. So like the Integra, if you had the Integra and the way it was popping, whenever you downshifted, would you get a tune to remove that?
So I think there's a balance, right? I think your focus pops too much from factory, for example. The Integra is a little bit more natural because it says focus whenever you can kind of predict. Like same thing with the B58s or the Supras or the BMWs, right? It's like, like every time. You know every time you give it gas, it's going to pop. Well, the Integra, it feels a little bit more natural and I like that more. Versus just now, because of all the pops and crackle tunes that everyone's freaking getting, all the kids are getting, it's just annoying.
Yeah, and I'm not saying I wanted to like continuously be popping like the true pop crackle tunes that we all know about. Mm-hmm. It's just like and the focus doesn't do it on every single downshift or every liftoff, but like it does. Oh man, I'm starting to come up with a word for it, but like it just has more character and more. It's fun to play with the throttle pedal. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely is more enticing to drive like a hood in a Focus. But the GR Corolla is more sophisticated, I'd say.
I think
a GR Corolla does need a little bit more character with an exhaust and then a rear sway bar and front camber. It's a little bit more front camber, and then I think it's a great car.
That was the other thing I was forgetting. It was like, I know there's like a third thing that I would want to add. So yeah, rear sway bar, exhaust, and front camber. And I think that thing would be an incredible package on track and for daily driving.
It's just daily driving too. It doesn't have to be a track car.
Yep.
I think the GR Corolla makes a better daily driver than it does a track car.
Even in Texas? This period. You're right. Because the space is 4-door, 5 seats, hatchback. I used the back of your car when we went down to the track to bring a Focus ST seat, the one that was on my sim rig. We put the seat down and the entire seat fit in the back, and we still had room for Carol in the back seat as well. That's one of the reasons I love hatchbacks.
I think I want one as a daily. I don't think I would use it occasionally as a track car if like the GR86 is down, right? I would not make this a track only car. I think it's missing the core of a great track car, like the balance, the weight, the wheelbase. It's missing all of that to make it into a full track car. That's why when they announced it in Club TR that a GR Corolla initially they were like no, because it's like 1630 cc's versus below 1.6 for the turbo. And then they changed their minds and like, let's just see what happens, right? And it's not doing well. A tuned GR Corolla with coilovers. Granted, there's no aero and it does weigh a lot. It's not doing well. Like I think it did like 42s at Gingerman versus top of Club TR was doing like high 38s, low 39s.
Yep.
It was like 2 to 3 seconds slower.
Yeah. And same thing with Street Class. Like Street Class, to be in the top 8 at least, you had to be sub 40 at Laguna. Mm-hmm. And none of the Corolla GRs to my memory got below sub 40.
I think it's not built to the max limit yet. I will say that, because it's still the cars that the GR Corollas that were out there, they were fairly stock. Like they would have had a tune, coilovers, wheels, and tires, and that was it. And I think if you were to kind of go balls out and like take out the interior, gut it a little bit, and put some aero on it, yes, it could potentially be a good Club TR car, but I just don't think that has the bare bones of a good track car.
Yeah.
I think it's a good daily that can go on track. It's not a good
I'll put it this way, and I told you this already, but if I was put myself back in college and I needed to go buy a new car, the Corolla GR would be on my list, the Golf R would be on my list, and maybe the Civic Type R. However, I really don't like front-wheel drive, as I learned this weekend, so what I'd be looking for is a hatchback with all-wheel drive that's manual. Today, that is the Golf R and the Corolla GR are the two hatchbacks that are manual and all-wheel drive. Mm-hmm. And between those two, hands down, I'd be going for the Corolla. Simply because I think the value is significantly better than the Golf R.
Mm-hmm.
The Golf, and again, like, I would be in college, so I'd be looking to, like, save money while still being able to put myself on track or go autocrossing on the weekends mm-hmm. On a budget. Today, if I needed a daily, I'd probably look at the Golf R because it's a bit more refined. It has more creature comforts. But for someone who is in their late 20s, early 30s, no, I'm early 30s right now, I'm 31, late 20s and has a sizable income to afford a Corolla GR and wants to go to track, I think it really fits the bucket. I think it fits that order.
Honestly, I forget about the Golf R a lot because it's just a boring car to me.
Yeah, I understand. I want to drive it now. Like, I think we would have a better conversation about where the Corolla GR truly fits
mm-hmm.
if we had the opportunity to drive a Golf R, mm-hmm. a new one stock.
Maybe. Yeah, I'm not even interested in that. I don't know. I think...
Is your boss listening to this podcast? Your Toyota boss?
No. I was just about to say, I think if I were to buy a car that I wanted... it would be a hard sell for me. I don't know if I would get the Integra or Type R versus the Circuit Edition Corolla. I don't know.
For me, it's I love all-wheel drive, especially for driving in the snow or when it rained. Mm. That was, oh my God, like that was the most frustrating thing for me driving the Integra in the rain is that you couldn't get traction in first or second gear.
Mm-hmm.
And it, in an essence, like it's kind of, to me, it's kind of scary. Like when I'm trying to pull accelerate and I don't have traction, it just bothers me.
I think you just don't know how to drive a front-wheel drive car. You're not used to it. It's most, yeah, like you can't throttle out with a front-wheel drive car. It's difficult. Especially when it's wet.
Oh, I'm talking about like on the street.
Oh, okay.
Like pulling out of pinballs and wanting to accelerate to get up to speed for the highway.
Uh-huh.
And the tires are just spinning in first and spinning in second.
Mm-hmm. I mean, in rear-wheel drive would also kind of be like that, right?
Yeah, that's true. But at least with wheel drive, when it is slipping, you can have fun with it.
Yeah. So we drove, I drove E46 M3 as well, right? And
that was now my you're looking at BMWs car. Again. Now
looking at BMWs again.
He's already turned on all the Auto Tempest save results or search results. Notify me as soon as something pops 100%. Up in the $35,000 price range.
I've been looking at E46s and E92s again. I'm on that train again. I was off of that train for the longest time, for like maybe a month. And then because Eddie got me off of it. And then I was like, okay, well, that was a lot of fun. It was so fun to drive. I was probably the slowest lap time, right, for that E46 out of all the cars there in the wet. But man, it was the most fun I've had in a very long time.
By the way, fuck you, Tan, for hogging it to yourself the entire time.
Screw you, dude. Like, we wanted to drive it, too. Nick didn't even got a ride in it.
No, I couldn't. Wait, who rode passenger with? Yeah, well, it didn't matter. The one time you took it out, so I think someone was riding passenger. I couldn't go with you.
Yeah. No, screw you, Tan. He doesn't even listen to this podcast. I'm going to tell him to his face. Actually, I already did call him out for that. But, yeah, he hogged the BMW because he loves BMWs, too. But he hogged that shit. And I was like, dude. Let someone else drive. I had the Integra for most of it. I think I drove the Integra the most, but like, it was great. I'm really appreciative of Canute letting me borrow that. But man, that E46 was so good. Yeah. Oh, it was so good. So yeah, I'm looking at a E46 M3. If you know of anyone, budget is around 30 grand. E46 or E92, preferably manual. If not,
DCT is your first one was DCT.
DCT E90 is okay, but I would not get the SMG E46.
Yeah, I agree with that. Okay, so from Saturday, you are now looking at BMWs, and for me, the only thing I'm looking into now is the party box for Carol's Model 3.
See, the way I'm justifying it for myself is that I can't bring my GR86 down to Harris Hill every time. It's just too difficult. So if I had another car... So if I had another car that I could daily drive and just drive it down to Harris Hill, have fun with you guys and drive it back home, what fits that bill? E46 or E92? Problem solved.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with that. It also, same thing for me where sometimes the focus is on the jack stands and not ready to get, be driven or for whatever reason. Now I'm looking over at Carroll's car like, damn, if only this thing was a performance model. But Mountain MPP, Unplugged Performance, I think it's Unplugged Performance, in any case, they make something called a party box. And so you plug this in and it effectively gives you more slip angle and allows you to actually, like, quote unquote, track the car. And it, the only problem is $900. It's not terrible. Like, it's still...
Or the only mod that you're going to do to that car, it's not bad.
Yeah, exactly. The tires would be fine. It's got Pilot Sport, not fours, whatever the all-season version of that is. And then the brakes are probably okay. We'll see. I've never gotten hot enough. Again, it'd just be a car that, like, crap, focuses down. Fez is coming to town. Let me take the Model 3 out on track and beat some of these other cars in straight line, but they can get my ass handed over to me in the corners.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll see.
Yeah.
Man.
Also drove our friend Matt's BRZ out there. I don't know if you drove that as well.
Oh, yeah, Matt. Yeah. He let me drive it as well. Mm-hmm. I have to tell you this. Something he said that he was impressed by you and I both was that he was surprised to see how quickly we would catch the car whenever it suddenly popped out from underneath us and we keep the slide going rather than immediately feeling the car sliding and then braking. Because there were some, I've noticed this in some people where they start to feel the car slide and they would, freak out isn't really the right word, but they would hit the brake hard and just kind of kill the momentum altogether. And in my opinion, if your car is sliding, like, that's not necessarily the end of the lap. You can, like, maintain forward momentum while still having the back end have a bit of a slip angle and sliding out. But nonetheless, like, Matt's car is a lot of fun. That was my second time driving the GR86. And because the first one was yours at ECR, and I loved it then whenever you get above 4,000 RPM. I was like, oh, here's the power that the first gen should have had. The GR86 is a...
Mine was just on RT660s. I wanted to kill you in the rain, so...
Yeah, I do recall that.
Yeah. His Pilot Sport 4Ss that were on the car, they were great. Like, that was the first car I think I took on track that was not the Integra, I think. But yeah, I asked him, like, hey, can I slide it? And he was like, yeah, for sure, go for it. And I was like, okay, cool. And then I got out there and I was like, just babying it. And because I did not know the track, I didn't know where I was going. And then also, it was someone else's car. I just wasn't comfortable.
Yeah.
And then he was like, okay, let me drive real quick and we'll turn up the compression in the rear and or the rebound in the rear or whatever, make it stiffer and see how it goes. And then he drove it and I was like, okay, so that's, I can do that. All right, cool. it like reprogrammed my brain. And then I went out there and I like just sent it. Like it was easy after that. And then I spun out twice, but I turned those spin outs into a 360 turn, like a 360 drift. And the BRZ. Yeah. It was like, I just spun out, okay, kept in it, and then spun the car all the way around, and then put it back into second or first, and just went straight. That was a lot of fun.
What about the Integra? How'd that go?
So the Integra, turns out, actually, did you know that the Integra does not have a front tow hook?
I found out after I saw you go off, and we started hunting for a front tow hook.
Yeah, so, fun fact. One of the guys on the track had gone off catastrophically, right? Like they went off pretty far into the deep end. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. And then Carol, Nick's wife, was with me and we saw the tow truck or the safety truck kind of come on the track and we're like, okay, well, let's just pull in. And then I was literally on a cool down, just like chilling, not pushing it. And I was just distracted and I missed the braking marker. And then with it being wet and bumpy, I just totally went off. I went off and then I went off in Matt's car in the same spot, but I kind of kept in it and it just slid around.
Yeah, you got back on.
Yeah, but with this being front wheel drive, I couldn't just keep in it and let it do its thing. The more I floored it, the more turned it, the more straight it went. So I went farther and farther and farther deep into the mud, and I was like, okay, well, this isn't working. yeah, and then they barely had enough straps to get me out. And yeah, they figured out that there's no tow hooks on that car. You can't, so you have to put it on the crash bar.
Right. So like the way you were able to get it out is you fish the tow hook through the grill, the bumper, mm-hmm. and then you were able to hook onto the crash bar from the back end
mm-hmm.
And able to get the car out. But then in that, in your off-roading adventure with the Integra, you also managed to get Carol and her helmet incredibly muddy. So that was funny to see her come back up. Dude, that car had a two-tone paint job.
The funniest part was I splashed her and she's like, no, 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 I'm getting splashed as I'm going off-road. And I'm like flooring the car in this mud. It's just splashing the crap out of her. And then they told me, like, hey, go into this little area where all the water was and just kind of do some, just go in circles.
Yeah, knock the mud off. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, knock the mud off. And I was like, all right, cool. And as I was doing that, I splashed Carol more with the dirty water.
Oh, so maybe she was actually cleaner by the time y'all rolled into the paddock.
Yeah, it was really funny. And I felt bad for Carol, but
she had a good time.
Sorry.
I was with Matt. We were pulling into the paddock, and I remember looking over, like, oh no, the Integra's going off. And my first thought was that, oh my gosh, is that Carol driving going into mud? Because Canoe had offered Carol to go out on track with the Integra, but Carol said, no, I don't want to. Uh-huh. But then I was like, fuck, what if Carol actually like accepted the offer and now she's sent it to the mud?
You thought I was Carol?
Well, then I was like, no, it's probably Fed. That's something Feds would do.
Yeah, Carol will be too scared to floor it or do anything.
Yeah, she would not have been able to like even get to the speed necessary to go off in the first place.
Yeah,
but oh man, yeah, it was an awesome time. It was a great old time driving all the different cars. It was like Forza in real life. Like I've said this before over Laguna, but like here at Harris Hill, it was straight up someone opened up the lobby and said, come on through and join, let's hoon around.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. And then another fun part was in the E40, when I was driving the E46, I saw Matt spin out right in front of me. So I like kind of drifted near him and straightened out and then went straight around him. And I like gave him a little sign, you know, like it was funny.
Helping the bird, give him the middle finger. Like,
I was like, hey. It's like, hey, it's like, screw you, sucks to be you, right? And then literally like three or four corners later, I spun out and he did the same thing to me. So karma is a bitch. To end the podcast, because I have a meeting to go to soon. Going back to the hot hatches, in conclusion, so now we have the GR Corolla, we have the Civic Type R, the Integra Type S. I'm just going to put them into one category for now.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's another good rear wheel drive car. I don't want to put the Golf R.
Oh, good rear wheel drive car. $35,000 E46.
35 to 40. M340i.
Something with a warranty. Like something with a warranty?
Yep. You can find them used for around $42,000.
Yeah. I remember you talking about that. I would be in the same boat of like, if I'm already shopping for anything with Integra Type S money, probably if I'm in that and I'm looking at Integra already because I want four doors and a nice interior, the 340i.
M340i of the G80.
M345. So that's the same motor inside the Supra, right?
The B58.
Okay. That would probably be the one I would go for.
Yeah, I think so. Same here. I think it's more luxurious. It's actually really fun to drive. It's a lot of power. It slides really easily. I think the Integra drove better because of just the suspension setup was, but the M340i would need again more front camber wheels and tires.
Yeah,
but I think it would be a phenomenal trackable daily car that you just want to put car seats in the back or something.
Yeah. I agree 100%. All right, we'll end it here. So sorry everyone for being a week late on a podcast, but hey, I mean, we were 11 strong, so here's up to number 12. We're back. Hopefully again.
We are back. yeah. So we'll share some next week. Next week. What's happening next week?
Next week, you're coming back, and I'm getting married to Carol.
Again.
Again. Formally married. 5-year anniversary. Renewing our vows. So
also, to those who don't know, I got a message from Carol on Friday saying that, hey, when are you coming in town? And I was like, oh, I don't know, like after work, I'm just gonna leave whenever. And then she's like, oh, do you want to go to a
restaurant,
a bougie restaurant with us? And I was like, oh yeah. I was like, I mean, if the invite is open, sure. And then I got to thinking as she said that, I was like, wait a second, their marriage is next weekend. Are they just like an anniversary dinner? Like this is a 5-year anniversary dinner or whatnot? And I was like, and I even asked them, is it okay? Like, I don't want to,
totally fine. It was totally okay for you to come.
I felt like a third wheel the entire time. It was a bougie ass restaurant with like bougie ass people around me. And I was like, how's it going?
I think the cheapest thing in the menu was like a salad for $18.
Which isn't too bad in terms of a lot of things, but
yeah, that's true. But yeah, anyway, no, it's fine. It wasn't an anniversary dinner. It was a, we went to
you got your marriage license that day.
It was a marriage license that day dinner on a Friday night.
With your adopted child.
Yep. So thank you for coming along, son. Anyways, thank you everyone for listening. As always, listen to, do you have anything else to say before I drop all the social stuff?
Happy New Year.
Happy Lunar New Year.
Ah, there you go. Happy Lunar New Year.
Yeah, thank you everyone for listening. As always, you can follow us on Instagram at The Racing Home Podcast. On there, there are links to the socials, so you can find Fez's Instagram, my Instagram, the link to the Discord if you want to drop some information about your daily. We actually had someone from Indonesia drop their vehicle. I don't know what this is. It's a Toyota, like, it looks like a minivan, but in any case, pretty sweet seeing that we got a listener from Indonesia sharing what he drives. It's a 2009 Toyota Innova 2.5-liter turbo diesel 4-banger pile of garbage. Nah, it's pretty sweet. In any case, thank y'all for listening, and we will hopefully see you soon. Hopefully next week. Fez just made a penis out of... What is that? Oh, that's like the... We use a, like, whole... Not a gimbal. What is it?
Like you mount the GoPro there and you can kind of wrap it around anything. And then
yeah, but what's the official word for it?
Oh, a spider clamp?
All right, so Fez is playing with his penis clamp. Anyways, we will talk to y'all later.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.